Quiet, we're on the air.
Hello, everybody. We just brought the moon over the mountain.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa. It wasn't much of a fight. I stood right there, but not for long.
Quiet.
This broadcast is coming to you through the courtesy of Brighto, and it's six delicious flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, cranberry, strawberry...
And raspberry. Ouch! It's still raspberry.
Now keep quiet or I'll suck you again.
Are you listening? Now don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll soon be with you. Boom!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest thing on the internet, Radio FUBAR, with your hosts, Matt Reefer.
Sorry, I tried to spit roast your mom.
Pete Johnson.
Guys, come on. Can't we have one night without a hate crime?
And me, Mr. Producer.
It would be rude not to eat her pie, which I assume is not only hot, but also moist. Although, hopefully not flaky.
Oh, forgot to turn on the compressor.
Oh,
we're minus Pete
for a little bit.
Yeah, he's playing
League of Legends.
World of blowing up.
League of Legends. Same concept.
Yeah, like I said, World of blowing shit up.
Yeah. You know what we should do before he comes down here? Because
he doesn't want to talk about it.
No. Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. We'll get that shit out of the way now.
Might as well, yeah, because Mr. I drive and play Pokemon at the same time over here.
Talking about me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I fully admit I am one of those people that has Pokemon Go up on my phone. In my defense, I do not... If I try to catch a Pokemon, I will pull off on a side road and pull over to catch it ish sometimes, most of the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I found that a lot of the shippers and receivers that I go to have some pretty powerful ones out there.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
I was telling Matt today, I said I was sitting you know, waiting to get my load at General Mills, and I caught a Golbat.
Yeah.
After wasting about 40 fucking balls.
Yeah, those fuckers are hard as shit to catch, man. Like, the first one I ever caught, a Zubat, those fucking things are ridiculous.
And the Golbat's the evolved form of the Zubat. Yeah, so, yeah. No, like I said, I think I was getting caught by the server crash today.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I would, first of all, I figured out how far I had to throw the ball to get him. And then, I would catch him, and he would get out of it really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would catch him again, and it would freeze.
Nice.
So I'd have to shut it down, start it, and then start the whole thing over. So, like I said, I used literally, I think, 40 balls to get him.
Oh.
What?
No, I pulled up the Pokedex.
Yeah.
In this game here, and they have there is 150 actual first out of the first gen, right?
Right.
They only have 147. They're missing, actually, it's 151 out of the first gen. They're missing four of them out of the Pokédex.
Well, 151 minus 150 is one.
No. I mean, they say it's 150, but it's actually 151 because they don't include Mewtwo. The three that they're missing are Zapdos, Articuno, and Moltres, the three legendary birds out of the list. So based upon that, I would almost say that you're not able to catch those guys yet. The rest of them, yeah.
Well, like you said, they kind of threw this out early, and they've been, every time they've been bringing up a country, they've been crashing.
Yeah.
That's what happened today, supposedly. They brought up Europe. And it crashed the entire world.
Doesn't surprise me. This is a massive, massive fucking thing, man.
I said, maybe put your download servers separate from your game servers.
Well, I actually had the... when I bought Diablo 3, I had the same issue. But, and it wasn't even the download server. It was literally enough people were trying to log on that it errored out.
Right. And that's probably what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everybody and their mother went and downloaded the thing and tried to log in at the same time.
Yeah. You know what that's called? That's called a DDoS attack. It's an accident. It's an accidental one, but that's what you guys did.
In effect, yeah. But no, I don't play it like Matt does, where I'm driving around all night offering to take people on rides.
Hey, man, if I can fucking make money doing that, let me put it to you this way. The first thought that came through my brain is, what would Frank do in this situation? There's a hole in the market. I'm going to try to fill that hole. Because I know that it's dangerous driving around trying to catch Pokemon. And I'm like, hey, man, I'll drive you around.
Well, you know what you should do is get one of those signs like they have on the pizza delivery things and put it right on top of your car, just with a big Pokemon Go on it.
Now, that's a great idea. That is a fantastic idea. That is awesome.
Didn't even think of that, did you?
Nope. Didn't think of that. That's why I talked to you.
Usually you're the one that comes out with the stupid ideas.
That's not stupid.
Well, maybe that's why I came up with it.
Let's be honest. They're not, my ideas are not stupid. They're crazy.
Right.
That are semi-formed, and then I bring them to you, and you're like, okay, this is how we're going to take your crazy idea and
hopefully make it work.
And make it work, yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work for the radio station.
Yeah, no, it didn't work, yeah.
And let's not charge anybody to do anything on the radio station. We'll pay it all ourselves and get our money from advertisers.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Nope. No, that didn't work.
No, that didn't work.
I like the idea, though.
If the advertising would have showed up.
Well, we never got the listeners to get the advertising.
Right, yeah.
So. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you're just going to shut it down.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still debating firing it back up.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to go through the process of trying to recruit shows again. But the other thing, though, is that I'm not firing it back up unless I can have pretty much 24/7 live content.
Yeah.
Because you can't... Why are people going to tune into a stream to listen to something they can download?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with you. That's,
you know, and that was painfully obvious from the numbers. The live shows that we had relatively decent numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever tuned in to podcasts.
No.
Maybe one. And I think that was somebody probably like their show,
mm-hmm.
you know, checking to see if they were on.
Yeah.
And it was a pain in the butt coordinating all of that.
I bet.
You know, I mean, you saw, it took me a good year before I got it relatively smooth.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do that, I had to run my computer 24/7.
Yeah.
And then we finally got it off-site, mm-hmm. which was nice because if it died in the middle of the week, I could fix it really quick.
Yeah.
But, no, this is one of those, if we're going to do that, it's going to be one of those, we're going to have to come up with a bunch of money and actually run it like a regular...
Radio station. Yeah.
Maybe have half a dozen, almost like an XM type thing, where you have different channels.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody does want to listen to music or comedy.
Kind of like what the Mix like FM does.
Kind of. The difference is that Jack doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
about making money because he's got money.
Yeah, exactly.
So he doesn't advertise it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He's got enough listeners that it kind of pays for itself on the music side.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's like, it's just
fuck it.
It's just fun for him. You know, it's just something that he does on the side, which is fine if that's what you want to do.
Hey, man, if you want to have a hobby that you...
Right.
Everybody has a hobby.
Right. I would like to be able to build it to the point where I didn't have to work.
Right, yeah.
Or work, but...
Actually enjoy what the fuck you do.
What I mean is work doing that as opposed to having to work...
A real job.
A real job, working 70 hours a week there and then coming in and putting another 40 hours a week into the radio station.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, but and in order to do that... Then you're going to have to get investors.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of what almost but not quite entirely unlike radio tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even checked to see if they've done anything. But I think internet radio at the time I thought was going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But... podcasting has become the big deal.
Yeah. Because if you look at it from the perspective of the listener, it gives them a lot of control and a lot of freedom over what they want to listen to and how they want to listen to it.
Right, they can listen to it whenever they want.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I have to tune in at a certain time. Now, the one advantage that doing it live has is that, you know, when we first started doing it, where we had a bunch of listeners and they were interactive with
us. Oh, dude, yeah, the interactive shit, that's fantastic. Right.
And that's where the live comes in handy. And we do have Skype up if anybody's listening and they want to get interactive with us. You know, but, the Skype is Radio FUBAR, by the way, all one word, is RadioFUBAR.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think the happy medium is doing it live and recording it.
Yeah.
Now, does it matter? Because we haven't had a caller in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But we get downloads.
Yeah.
So people are listening.
That's good to
just
hear.
Just not live. Then again, it is fucking Saturday night. You know, that's the problem that we've always had doing this on... You know, your show you did Friday nights, my show we did Saturday nights. When we did it on Sunday night is when we had listeners because they weren't out partying.
Right.
You know, and when we had to move back to Saturday night, we lost all of our listeners because they're like, well, screw you, man. It's like family day or getting drunk day or whatever like that. But what are you going to do?
No, yeah.
I kind of want to get back into doing the radio play thing that we do. Remember we did that? That was fun to do.
That was a lot of fun.
So what I would like to do maybe is get a half a dozen people and just make like a regular cast. And maybe once a month put one of these out. And it's not like we don't need to do a live. We could, but we don't need to.
Yeah.
We could just say, hey, record your part and send it to me.
And then we'll piece it together.
And then I'll piece it together and we'll put out a radio play.
Sister's calling me. Yes, Andrea.
Put on speaker.
Hello? Yes, Andrea.
Hello, are you doing Uber? Are you Ubering tonight?
Do what?
Are you Ubering tonight?
Am I Ubering tonight?
Yeah, it's a verb now.
Is the why?
I'm just wondering because if you're going to be out tonight, because we're in Davenport tonight and we're going to go Pokemon hunting. And,
You just want to ride? So you just want to ride with me?
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like if when we're done hanging out downtown, you're like take me back to grandma's or something.
$50 an hour.
I'll probably if I'm not Ubering, then I will probably be out getting Pokemon. Yeah.
All if I need you to come pick Ken and I up, maybe Benjamin. Maybe. I said maybe. Never know with you. Yeah. But so if you come pick me up.
Okay. I can do that.
All right, good. I'm just making sure before and I so we're good. Yeah, before I call you at 3 AM and you don't answer, because you've done that before to me. So
okay.
All right. I'll text you if I need you.
Okay.
All right. Bye. I love you.
Bye. Bye. I love you too. No, it's my sister.
You know, the only time that have you ever played that thing for her?
No. Wait, I might have. Like, these people know that I do this from 5 o'clock.
I know, but remember that sounds like remember that the greatest call of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shit's on like YouTube, her. Man. That,
yeah,
no.
It is. Was that her?
No,
it sounds like her.
It's not.
Sounds just like her.
It's not the same person.
Okay, I was gonna say it sounds just like her.
That was not. Yeah, no, that was my sister. That's not. That was the person on that call. That was my friend Paul's sister. Let's pull that up and play it.
I am. It's what?
What?
Oh, okay, here it is.
I was going to say. I know it's there.
Oh, I forgot about this one.
Oh, yeah. This. Oh, God.
Oh.
Pizza.
Oh.
Oh.
I don't think Pete's heard this since it happened.
Uh-huh. What? I thought he heard. I think he's heard it once.
Oh. Oh, orchestra. My God. Blues. Oh,
what?
Yo, that's right. They joined. Oh.
Wow.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
All I do is the Africa thing.
Damn it.
Oh,
come with great apple. Loving my ever. Oh, crap. No.
Bangkok. I know. Oh, shit.
A little dirty. Let's do this.
Yes, let's do this now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Becca. Hey.
No, oh, no.
What the hell? What?
Pocket. What?
That is. Was,
No.
God. Oh, it's nice. God damn it.
Oh,
that's
yeah. God.
I forget how funny this is.
Fuck the murder she wrote.
Oh, God.
Son of a bitch.
God. Oh, God.
What?
I'm going to have to do another fucking quiz show episode just so I can do another one of these.
I should have remembered the porno.
No.
Yo.
God dang it. Well played, sir.
All of that from one episode. I can't get over that.
Yeah,
that was from 4 years ago, and that's still hilarious. That's just Matt and Pete.
We were doing a quiz show.
We were doing a quiz. And that was Matt and Pete's reactions to a bunch of them.
Just the questions. It's like, God damn it. Fucking me and Mercy Row, bitch.
You're on the Matt Reefer's 4 Hours of Power radio show.
That's cool.
So is everything cool? Yeah. What's up?
Hey.
What?
Hey.
What?
Hey.
Hey.
Grass-like substance consumed by barnyard animals.
I'm making raviolis.
Okay.
And I don't know how to get them out of the fucking can.
You gotta use a can opener.
The Mr. Producer Show is now on Stitcher. On-demand news, talk, and more. Available for you.
And everything, and I can't get them out.
Oh, keep trying. Use the use the can opener. It's by the sink.
I'm hungry.
What? Well, if you can't operate a can opener, go get the neighbor.
No.
I don't. Go get Bruce.
Bruce will not help me.
Well, you're gonna have to like make a hot pocket or something in the meantime. We can't raviolis when I get home.
I don't want my fucking raviolis. I'm so hungry.
Hilariously, well, I'm friends with this chick on Facebook.
Hey, baby.
What?
Every once in a while, I'll still tag her on the Facebook. I'll tag her on it. I'll pull the link out of YouTube and tag her on it.
Yeah.
They're trying to feed this fucking baby. She is really drunk. They look like they're gonna fucking smack a baby with a banana.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
This is when
watching.
This is when Frank's
you're in the house, aren't
fucking
you?
Fucking sound clip.
You got the
game
door
was
locked,
on,
right?
I think so.
Don't go outside. Stay in the house. If you're going outside, then you're gonna get ate by fucking zombies.
What?
Yeah, so stay in the house.
What?
Don't make me destroy you.
All right, hey.
What? Stay.
I actually have an idea on how to help her with these raviolis. If she wants to get the raviolis out of the can, she's already opened one side, right, with the can opener.
Did you open any side at all?
Oh.
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
She's fucked. She is fucked.
Does she have a can opener?
She's so drunk she can't even operate a can opener?
I think, yeah. But I think she's just...
How drunk do you have to be where you can't operate a can opener?
That's still a great question.
Hello?
3 years later, it's still a great question.
Find out how much beer she has.
I know, man. That involves a knife, mayonnaise. That's some complicated shit.
Go make a sandwich.
Do I look like I'm a fucking making sandwich bitch to you?
Hey,
Hey, bitch, go make
this
me
is
a
what
sandwich.
Happens when you mix beer and vodka.
Oh my god!
You don't
bitch,
eat a
go make
food.
Me a sandwich.
Make me a turkey pot pie,
bitch. Oh my god! Not at all, Amanda.
Oh my fucking interview.
I'm going to bitch outside and tell her to get in the kitchen and make me a motherfucking sandwich.
Who?
I don't know. Whoever I find outside.
No,
why don't you
stay in the house?
Stay in the house. Tell her to stay in the house.
I'm gonna stay in the house, but I'm gonna creep out the window. And when I see a bitch walk by, I'm gonna say, "Hey, get the fuck up in here and make me a sandwich."
Yes,
your little sister's gonna
I love my sister. I love my little sister.
Oh my god, man! There's gonna be an abduction happening somewhere.
Someone's getting fucking stabbed, man.
Why is everyone laughing at me? I'm serious.
That's the point.
That's
the fucking
oh my
point.
God. And the fact is that she's
I'm
being
not
serious.
Being funny. I'm being 100, but.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get late.
That's my sister, man.
She can't hear.
Well, hey.
Why are you guys laughing at me?
Go. Because you're so funny. You should be, I don't know why you're not doing stand-up.
Because I don't know.
I know, you could be getting hella bank right now.
I could fucking be on TV with Gabriel Iglesias, man.
I wouldn't push it that far.
Oh, the hater in the room.
Oh, man. The good old days.
I'm looking at all of these. Now I forgot all of the best ofs.
I only got through like 1 week worth of it, and then I just kind of stopped.
Stopped. The best of week one from Four Hop, the best of week one from Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks, the best of week one from Uniformed Ops. I'm curious.
This was completely arbitrary, in my opinion.
If you don't have any specific skills or anything.
No, like no. I mean, but if you get, if that's, I mean, if at the end of the day, like you're, they say, okay, this guy's physically fit to be like an infantryman, but he didn't ask to be in any of these like voluntary units, and there's no, like, he's not smart enough to be in intelligence or whatever. There's a bunch of other things that then they say, okay, this infantry unit needs people. This artillery unit needs people. Sometimes they'll ask you. Sometimes they'll just assign you. I'm sure there's a whole like system that's hidden from the regular people about, you know, manpower and shuffling people around, and that's a very difficult.
Like, well, we got a spot for you here, but not quite yet. So until then, why don't you just, here's a rifle, go stand over here.
It's more like, no, that actually happens. Yeah. But what they say is, we don't need you right now. Like, we need you in like a month. So here's this backhoe. Go, you know, go mow the lawn in the recruitment base. There's like a big recruitment base.
Hey, so Ben, go like, paint the rocks. Great.
We got a guy to do scut work for 30 days before we send him away. Go clean the head. And seriously, like I know people who did that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I said. Go paint the rocks.
Yeah, exactly. I've done that. I've painted rocks.
I was going to say, that sounds like the Army about 6 months of the year.
Yeah. go paint the rocks and sweep the dirt. You know, come on.
Yeah. And
mop the rain.
And yeah, and then, it changes depending on what you do. So like what I did, I just went through very basic training. There's different levels of basic training, 02, 03, 05. It depends, you know. So I went through the most basic of the basic trainings because I didn't need to know all this other stuff. And then I got sent a specialized course that taught me the skills that I then needed.
When you say basic training, you mean pretty much like, here's how you salute and here's the chain of command, go?
Well, and like, here's a gun and here's how you take apart this M16.
I love Gnome's explanation and shit. It's really simple. Just really fucking, here's the gun, go over there.
The ends of the M16 is red and say red's dead, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think the main purpose of the most basic of basic training is just to give you like a shock induction into Army life, because it is very, you know, it is very stark. Like all of, you know, one day you're just a guy, you know, a kid, you're just done with high school, and the next day you got to run around and, you know, drop and give me 20 and that kind of stuff. It's all about just giving you like a clean break, like forget about that other stuff. Now you gotta, this is the way your life's gonna look like. It's, for most people, it isn't, obviously. It's very exaggerated in the basic training, a la Gunnery Sergeant Hartman.
How we didn't make fun of him for saying Allah.
So.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Speaking of gaming consoles, Xbox, Wii U. Have you guys been reading or following it?
Nerdgasm.
Oh, okay.
Just that it comes out Sunday?
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Because the last thing I saw was like 2 days ago how, because Nintendo decided to use a proprietary disc system.
Been on YouTube
system
for 4 years. This is the 10th view.
The guys on The Verge, or one of those websites, the tech websites, they were saying that it has a rounded edge.
Okay. But yeah, no, we were talking about our failure as a radio station. Pete's here, by the way, everybody. I guess he's done blowing shit up.
It wasn't necessarily a failure.
Well, it was a failure in the fact that I couldn't afford to do it anymore.
It was an experiment that ended.
That's a good way to put it.
No, it was a failure.
Hey, just like Edison.
When you made it, did you
exactly
think this
we
is,
found a good way
Edison,
to not make a fucking
exactly,
radio
that's
station?
That's exactly what it is.
Which is
don't
an
do,
experiment.
Don't do that again.
Yeah.
When you set it up, did you go, this is it, this is the way it's going to be that way forever, I'm never going to change it? No, that wasn't my intention.
No, that wasn't my intention, but that's what ended up happening because every time I tried to change something, everybody else on the station went, no, 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 you can't do that.
Yeah, but you kept making goals, though. It was an experiment.
So.
Bigger things and worse things have failed.
See, but I think that's the difference, though. You see, when we were running the station, it was, all right, you guys are giving us your talent, and we're giving you a little bit of pub.
Yeah.
Basically, and that's the exchange. And then anytime I wanted to try to do something in a way to, you know, get the word out or something like that, everybody went, no, 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 no. And it made sense because they weren't getting paid. So I said, if we're going to do something like that again, we're going to figure out some way to pay them. So when we come out and we say, okay, all right, y'all are employees now, so you're going to do...
What the fuck
I need you to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
In order to make this a success instead of...
Where you'll be shut, and then you will be punished.
Right.
in that order.
Or no, I mean, and that was the big failure, I think, of that attempt of Radio FUBAR, is we couldn't do what needed to be done.
Right.
Because they weren't employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know... I could try to explain to my heart's content that we need to be able to do this in order to, you know, grow the word. And when you've got 63, I think at the point we had 63 shows with 63 different agendas.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
So that's why I said if we do it again, I think
what the hell is Brian up to now?
Brian and Anchor are still doing their show.
Okay.
And they're still, well, remember when they left us, they just did their own stream or their own web. So that basically they're doing exactly what they were doing. They're just doing it on their own stream,
mm-hmm.
which I've debated as well. But no, they're still doing their thing. Still as racist as ever.
Hey, man.
Well, thank the Lord for that. Bless their
heart. Fact, let's see.
Appreciate the.
Let's see. They're logged in Skype. Let's see if we can get them. Let's see if they'll pick up the phone.
I think Brian might. Brian might make fun of me for playing Pokemon.
No, I don't. I don't think Brian doesn't listen to this show.
What show are these
Anchor?
Guys
a ki-
this is unfit for FM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he didn't answer.
No. If I remember, his last name's Hatfield, right?
Brian?
Yeah.
No,
different Brian. Okay, never mind.
Hatfield.
There was some dude that was on.
He's from Jersey, not Kentucky.
Whatever. Hey, there could be Hatfields in Jersey, man. But
no. Busy shooting at McCoys.
I gotcha.
I was gonna say, yeah, the Hatfields are in Minnesota, you see, and then the McCoys are in Wisconsin.
Oh. See, I didn't know that.
He wouldn't get that joke.
Hmm?
He wouldn't get that joke.
Nope, I don't get that joke.
Fort McCoy is up in Wisconsin.
Oh,
that's where Pete was.
Oh, okay, now I got it.
God, if there was a Fort Hatfield in Minnesota,
I was gonna say,
that would be awesome.
It would have been even funnier if the...
like every once in a while a jet flies over like fucking Fort Hatfield and just drops like right. cow dung all no, over it the fucking tower.
It would have been even funnier if the if Camp Butler was Camp Hutfield or Hatfield, so they were right next to each other.
Yeah.
Basically just down the road from each other, 20 miles.
That's hilarious.
Occasionally have a tug of war or something like that.
And yeah.
And that's how you duke it out every year.
So, Ghostbusters came out. I have not seen this piece of shit movie.
The only thing that I've really heard about it is that they pretty much just redid the original Ghostbusters with chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I'm phoning it in. Hello, Ghostbusters? Oh, you're already on the line. Go figure.
Yeah, I mean, well, I haven't looked at any actual reviews.
They range from this movie was shit, which you could tell the person was probably already biased against the movie because of the trailers,
and then the apologists that go, well, it wasn't terrible. So 8 out of 10. What? That's the bar.
It's got a 74% Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
Yeah.
And what is that? That's what I'm saying. It, almost all the ratings, like, put it in the 75% rating, except for the 4-star ratings, they put it at 2, because 4 stars is outrageous. 3 is...
Well, Roger Ebert gave it a 2 out of 4.
I'll actually... That is a completely unbiased opinion. Right.
This is
Roger Ebert?
Yeah.
No, because other films that are just plain terrible have gotten 2 stars from him.
Okay.
If there's boobies in it, he's likely to give it at least 1.5 stars.
Okay.
He's an old
fruit. Came here to find out if the new Ghostbusters game was an unambitious...
The new Ghostbusters game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was...
No, most of them go, well, the other two girls were really funny in it, and I did laugh at some moments, so 7 out of 10. But it wasn't really anything I see. That's why I took the 3 points off.
Uh-oh.
So you're saying it was completely unoriginal, it just made you laugh at some points.
Ghostbusters.
So you give it a great review.
Hold on. Angry Movie Review Plus Rant.
That's probably Angry Joe.
Angry Joe, yeah.
Yeah, it's
are they usually any pretty good?
He talks a lot. What is it, 10 minutes at least?
28.
There you go. 10 minutes at least for Angry Joe.
I fucking got it.
Is this the guy with the Superman bit?
It's a class 10 fucking stinker. It's a class 10 goddamn piece of shit fucking movie that really sucks ass. And I'm serious, guys. I'm not fucking joking. I went into this thinking, okay, it's going to be good. It's going to, you know.
This is like... He's really good at calling out media corporations on their horse shit.
Yeah.
His Superman shit that we covered was just horse shit. But
yeah,
he's really good. Like, he gets really excited about a game. They've even brought him in to play games because he has such a following, the Angry Army. And, like, he starts doing it and everything. He gives it a good review. And then they announce that, like, what was the new Warhammer game? Warhammer Total War, you know, mm-hmm. the Total War series, they did a Warhammer version of that, so you can control, like, the units,
the fucking
and the
space
strategy.
Marines and shit like that. Was it 40K or
no, just regular Warhammer.
Regular Warhammer.
And like, he goes and reviews it, the game looks great, he gives it a positive pre-review, like, this game looks great so far. Then they announce that one of the playable races out of the 4 from that universe is DLC, paid DLC. And he blasts them down hardcore. Like, this is 4 choosable armies, and one of them you have to pay to play.
Hold on.
We're already paying $75 for this fucking game, and you're going to charge us $25 to fully... That's $100 for a full game.
Hold on. I think this is a...
and only 2 campaigns with 4 races.
Get the fuck out of here!
They said 6.
That's like the same shit that Blizzard pulled with StarCraft 2.
This is one of the comments below it, and it's like 4th down. The thing I found most ironic was that if you criticized this movie, you were labeled a misogynist. But in the movie, they were disrespectful to the male characters. They were either stupid, creepy, or an asshole. Plus the fact that they shot the final monster in the dick to kill it.
This is what I tried to cover with Rhonda, and she was like disagreeing that these were like funny female comedians. I'm like, no, these are feminist comedians. There's a difference. Their jokes are funny to feminists, and I'm not discrediting that, but it was written by feminist comedians with an agenda. But no, Angry Joe, like, we dissed him a lot, but on almost anything media-related, you can trust his input, because he actually gets, for how ignorant and stupid he sounds in some of this shit, he gets behind the scenes more than anybody, because they think he's stupid enough to not rat him out. Yeah, he's a big dumb idiot. He'll give us a positive review. No, he gets angry really easily. You should watch out for that. You're inviting the Hulk behind your enemy. Sorry, go ahead.
All right. This is an article come out 2 days ago. Ghostbusters is a perfect example of how internet movie ratings are broken. Ghostbusters, a revival of the 1984 original, hits theaters nationwide on Friday. This was written on the 14th, so that was Thursday.
Wednesday. Thursday.
As a reboot of a beloved male-led science fiction film from the 80s with a female-led cast, the reboot has proven somewhat controversial in the circles you would expect. But regardless of the quality of the film, it serves as a perfect demonstration of why internet movie ratings are inherently a problem. Most fundamentally single-numbered aggregations, like those used by sites such as Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, and IMDb, are a pitiful way to explain the diverse views of critics. More specifically, a vocal portion of men on the internet, shall we say, go out of their way to make their voices heard when it comes to judging entertainment aimed at women. And that appears to be happening with the new Ghostbusters. But let's back up. Last year, as part of an investigation into the inflamed ratings or inflated ratings on Fandango's website, I looked at the world of online movie ratings in general. The moral of this story, each site that aggregates ratings and reviews has its own skew one way or the other, and it's up to the user to determine which heuristic most accurately matches what they considered an ideal rating. And also, don't trust any positive movie reviews from sites trying to use that review to sell you movie tickets. That, too.
Aimed at women?
I never got that.
How dare they? How dare they claim that after the original claim was, no, we're not trying to take your favorite things from you. We're not trying to take them. Well, this was actually aimed at women. But we're not trying to take it away from you.
Okay.
Fuck you.
Here's the New York Times. Our Ghostbusters review. Girls rule, women are funny, get over it.
Yep. That's the way these ratings.
Headline.
There's actually a weird thing happening on the internet where the positive reviews on like YouTube and media sites are actually the most viewed because there's such everybody understands this movie is shit. Everybody's trying to find out who likes it to yell at them. So if I make a video today that's like Ghostbusters is the best movie ever made, it was original and funny and the female cast did a great job, the humor was not lighthearted or sophomoric at all, and blah blah blah, I'm gonna get like at least 50,000 views in a day or two,
and all of it's gonna be hatred
and I didn't even have to work for it, and all of it's just gonna be you're a fucking idiot and shit, and then everybody's gonna go, oh see, it's doing really well, all these positive reviews are so viewed. Man, that's some propaganda control.
Sliding into theaters on a river of slime and an endless supply of good vibes. The new cheerfully silly Ghostbusters is that rarest of big studio offerings, a movie that is a lot of enjoyable, disposable fun.
Who wrote this article?
This is the New York Times. No,
look how they have to weird it, though. It's silly. It's enjoyable.
Manola Dargis. Manohla. I don't know. You know, it's rather androgynous, so I don't know. Let's see. Enjoy it while you can, because that doesn't happen often, even in summer, which is supposedly to be our season of collective movie-going happiness. The season when everyone jumps aboard, whee, and agrees that, yes, this great goof is exactly what you were thinking when you wondered why you didn't make summer movies like they used to.
What the fuck?
Oh, wait, because whatever else you can say about the new Ghostbusters, it's a lot like the old Ghostbusters, except that it stars four funny women instead of, you know, four funny men. In other words, it doesn't have a lot of XY chromosomes and basso profundo voices like its token hottie played by a game, nimble, funny Chris Hemsworth. No, that's a check.
Yep.
He pulls his weight on both accounts. Okay. Otherwise, the redo is pretty much what you might expect from Paul Feig, one of the best things to happen to American big screen comedy since Harold Ramis.
I am willing. I'm still waiting for the scene. I gotta find it. I'm gonna Google it later.
What?
Chris Hemsworth Ghostbusters shirt off. I know he has his shirt off somewhere in that movie. If I can prove it, I've proven what they did. Oh, you're gonna do okay. Like, oh, he's game and nimble, and it's there to empower.
This is the person that wrote that article.
That doesn't matter to me.
I had to double.
For perspective, too, Roger Ebert gave Step Brothers, I believe, 2.5 or 3 stars out of 4.
How do you spell ghost?
G-H-O-S-T.
which he said it was a movie full Step Brothers was a movie. It was full
yep,
of
there's
rage.
The pictures.
Is it actually in the movie?
I'm looking.
They hid like as much of him in the movie as possible, except for scenes where he's standing, like in their promotional material, he's standing static, fully clothed. And I'm like, he's going to have his shirt off somewhere in that movie. Every single scene they've shown him in has him in the same clothing because they don't want him. Oh, we showed off Chris Hemsworth's abs to get the ladies in.
Apparently he's shirtless at some point playing a saxophone.
There we go. Boom.
But when you have shirtless women in a movie, you know, that's wrong.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying they were trying to make this as some sort of triumph as conquering sexism and everything and having a right. empowerment of women. So the empowerment of women is the sexualization of men.
Yep. Mr. Ramis helped write the old Ghostbusters and played one of its professional paranormal eliminators. As Larry King described them in the movie, alongside Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Bill Murray, a triumph of casting and timing, the first Ghostbusters remains memorable for Ray Parker Jr.'s inane, diminutively catchy theme song, and for Mr. Murray, who dominates it even more than his Godzilla-sized Marshmallow Man monster does. It's peak Bill Murray with a minimalism that exerts a powerful gravitational force and a deadpan that recasts Mad Magazine's What Me Worry grin with the sickness unto death laughter of National Lampoon. And I think that's the problem that a lot of people had, and we talked about it in this, is just based off that shitty-ass fucking trailer that they put out there, is that they took the deadpan out of it.
Yeah. It was a lot of the reason why that it was the absurdity. Yeah, we've discussed this. It was the absurdity of them handling ghosts in complete seriousness. And it's like, it's a fucking ghost. It doesn't exist. That's right.
Well, I mean, think about it right at the beginning. You know, that first, the first ghost that they actually went after, remember in the ballroom?
Yeah.
And Bill Murray gets slimed.
Yeah.
And they run up to him and say, "What happened?" He just looks and says, "He slimed me.
He slimed me."
What does it look like he did? He slimed me.
Yeah, he got me. That's the fucking Chris Farley and David Spade effect.
Yeah.
Would you do fall in some mud? Yes. And I am now rich because I'm the only person alive that fell in white mud. I said, did you fall in some crud? Fucking hilarious, because Chris Farley is the one saying it deadpan. Right. I'm not an idiot. He slimed me, Egon.
Right.
And then you also another demonstration is when they're like discussing how they're going to fight the big bad at the end. Is like, and she paid us in advance before she
turned into a dog.
Yeah.
The nice lady that paid us in advance
and it's like that deadpan right there. It's like that is such an absurd right. line to say. And the
there was only one time in the movie where somebody was obviously making a joke.
Yeah.
That I could remember, and that's the next time somebody asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
But in yes,
I know it was in context.
In context,
but he was obviously making a joke.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or think about it, you know when.
But then the difference in character motivations too. You had Venkman, who is just trying to make as much money as possible. Uh-huh. You had Ernie Hudson's character.
Wanted a check.
Who just wanted a paycheck.
Yeah,
I'll believe whatever the hell you want.
as long as the money shows up on Friday.
What do you say? Something like, you know, for $8 an hour, I'll believe whatever the hell you want. Or
Egon,
whatever,
who is there purely for textbook knowledge, and then Dan Aykroyd's character, I always forget his name. But he was the childlike
Ray.
Wonder. No. He was the explorer.
Uh-huh.
Ray.
Yeah, I forget his last name.
It wasn't, hey, here's ghosts. We should catch them to be heroes. Hooray!
Yeah, because he was always
fucking cool. He wants to make money. He wants to learn about it. He is exploring a new world, and that guy just showed up for a paycheck. This is hilarious.
Yeah.
It was the absurdity of each of these. The way they put it in the trailer is it's an ensemble of, let's be the Avengers of Ghostbusters. Huzzah!
Yeah.
You know quantum physics like nobody's business. None of the other guys were quantum physicists. What does quantum physics have to do with ghosts? Right. You know,
you're just saying words.
You're the best engineer around. What is engineering, other than building shit, what is engineering have to do with
ghosts? Well, somebody had to build the containment unit.
We didn't need to have that explained in the first one. We just assumed that Ray and Egon were smart enough to fucking do it.
Yeah, because they studied paranormal activity.
Yeah,
exactly.
Both of them were experts in that field.
First off, we knew that Venkman didn't build it.
Not at fucking.
No,
not at all.
I wasn't even there eating a sandwich. He was just.
Maybe Ernie Hudson helped with the welding.
They had that built before they hired him.
That's true. Yeah, they did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this was purely
It was Ray and Egon.
Ray and Egon.
Yeah.
Because I think Egon was a physicist, but he was a physicist specializing in paranormal activity.
I think they called him one time a paranormal physicist.
Yeah.
Right. Like he had studied this for his entire. He didn't just adopt it because they discovered it. This is something he'd been involved. So. You didn't have to wonder too much how they managed to build all this shit.
Yeah.
You
know,
or when they figured it out.
And you think of it, and you look at...
You got to focus purely on the humor and the characters.
You know, the original Ghostbusters would have been one of those movies that I would have almost liked to have seen a prequel on. Like, how in the hell did those three meet and become friends?
Maybe a web short. I'd see a web short.
Even that, something like that. You know, that would be something cool. I mean, I could understand... Ray and Egon.
Yeah.
Egon's probably just...
How the fuck did you pick up fucking Peter Venkman?
I mean...
How the fuck did you find him?
I thought they established that, though, in the first movie.
I mean, Ray...
He latched onto the two nerds for easy credits.
Okay.
I thought that was...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why he was conducting the study with the hot chick and the weirdo guy in the beginning.
Well, he hooked up with them later in life, but I'm talking about, like, at some point they had to meet somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like back in college or whatever.
That's a good 10-minute short. That's a 10-minute short.
Almost like a Monsters University type thing.
You
know?
Yeah.
Like, how did they originally meet? You know, because like I said, you can see Egon just tooling away in a lab somewhere. And then all of a sudden, Ray walks in, I don't know, mopping the floor or whatever, because he needs money for, you know, he's a student worker.
Mm-hmm.
And he bumps into Egon and, oh, that looks cool. What's that? Oh, what's that? What's that? What's this? What's that? You know, because that's always, you know, Ray was always, this is so cool guy, you know. And they're walking down the street one day and all of a sudden Venkman walks up and just goes. I can be a bullshit artist and use them.
I see that kind of dynamic between them is the Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs kind of relationship, of where Jobs was the great salesman. He wasn't good at like any of the tech side of it, but he's a really good salesman.
Venkman would be the Jobs of
exactly.
I need to see that Michael Fassbender one too.
I've heard that's okay.
Seen three documentaries of Steve Jobs' life or biographies.
They all paint him as an asshole. Every single one paints him as an asshole.
And then you see the fourth. But don't pay them money.
I'm
Frank.
Not giving them money.
Don't pay them money. Ever. I don't care if it's good. It's an unasked for stupid sequel. It's a remake of something that everybody, when they announced it, everybody's collective thought process was why?
Yeah.
And everybody, and after they decided, yeah, we're going ahead with it anyway, everybody's like, please don't fuck it up. And they fucked it up.
Yeah, I'm not supporting it.
You had one job. Don't fuck it up. And if you have to make excuses by calling it silly and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nope.
As I said,
they don't get any money. They don't get $3 from me. They get nothing. They don't even Redbox money. They get nothing from me.
We designed a better story than they ever fucking did.
Because you pay him money, Frank.
they make another one. And I don't even know what their opening weekend sales are, but if it's enough to make another movie, I'm going to be pissed.
We got to turn it
if your
on.
Mic was on, they could hear you.
I said, how about we pay to see a movie that doesn't suck, and then we just go to that one instead?
No, because I'm going to see the movie that doesn't suck. That's the whole point of going to a movie that doesn't suck.
You see a movie that you see a movie that doesn't suck that you've already seen. Like, would you give Civil War another $8 of your money?
Yeah. Absolutely, I would.
But then he's like, no, I want to go see Civil War again.
Yeah. You go, what I would do in this, that I've never done this tactic before in my life, which is you find a showing of the second movie you don't want to pay for that lines up almost immediately behind the one that you want to pay for.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you go in and you watch your first one, and then and when you walk out, you go to the...
Mm-hmm.
The other one instead.
Yeah.
But, no, like I said, that was, I think.
I'm not going to steal from them, though. That is theft. You paid to see one movie and you saw two.
They stole my childhood.
Well, then don't pay them for it. That's the point. Don't steal it back from them. Just refuse to buy it from them. Right.
But I think that.
You want your childhood back? Nah, I'm good. Right. I'm an adult now. This backfired. Yeah, fuck you, Ghostbusters.
But I mean, that's the thing about Ghostbusters and those movies from back in the day. Now, you know, those kind of movies. Bill Murray, especially. Bill Murray was the kind of actor that made you feel like he wasn't telling you a story or a joke. You felt like you were living a life with him.
Yeah.
In his movies.
Yeah.
You know, you were just watching him do what he normally does.
Yeah.
Well, that's really the feeling that you got from the four of these guys, is that you were almost watching a documentary.
Yeah.
In that movie. Yeah.
But without it being stylized like that. Like, it wasn't the shitty found footage style fucking movie, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then, I don't want to see Ghostbusters with an over the, I mean, women, men, I'd probably be just as pissed if it was...
Four guys
yeah. Now. You know, and then they still do the same over the top in your face
mm-hmm.
stuff. I don't want that. I want the subdued, you know, and Ghostbusters even made that problem with when they made Ghostbusters 2.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Or even the graphics in the new one.
Oh, the best part, the shitty ass fucking graphics from the first one was perfect too, because it's like, it doesn't look real. Like, you can obviously tell it's fucking fake. That was the best part.
Well, at the time, the philosophy was, it can look fake because it's ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it seems like from this one, they wanted to steal the cartooniness that they went with in the first one to explain away the shittiness of the quality at the time compared to now. They just decided, hey, let's steal the cartoony nature of the ghosts, but we'll give it fucking Matrix level and fucking Avengers level CGI and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
Let's make it really hyper colors and loud colors and make it cartoony. That takes away from the effect, though.
Right. So, now...
Were you scared of the dogs in Ghostbusters 1?
I thought they were fucking... The dogs. They weren't scared.
The hounds from the first.
Oh, the two.
The okay. Gozer's hounds.
The Gozer's. No.
They weren't.
You saw
scary.
Them a little older than we did.
I don't think you were born when the movie came
out. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We saw it when we were younger.
Was I? Let's see. I was 10 when that movie came out, and I saw it in the theaters. Was I scared of the Gozer hounds? No, because they didn't do anything.
Right.
All they did was jump up on their little pillar.
Well, I mean, the way he's running around in the room and crap. I wasn't scared of it either. It was still, that was an effect that at the time looked real. Like, that was the one they tried really hard to make real. They don't do that at all in this movie. They just decide, hey, every one of these things is going to look like it's made in a fucking CGI cartoon.
Honestly,
lab.
If anything in that movie scared the shit out of me as a 10-year-old, it was fucking Mr. Stay Puft.
Oh, dude.
Because of the way, no, because not because of it being Mr. Stave Puft, but just because of the way he was formed. You know,
if Jay are good,
it came out of your mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
that's fucking scary shit.
Because I started having, at 10 years old, I started having that debate myself. If I was in this situation, could I not think of anything? No, I would be thinking of something. What would I think of? There's a 50-foot Mr. Rogers walking down the street.
Yeah. J. Edgar Hoover appear in a dress would appear and destroy it. Right. Yeah. It's fucking frightening. And Egon's reaction.
Actually, no. At 10 years old, it would have been a 50-foot Mr. Wizard.
Yeah.
But what was the other aspect of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man that made that effect work? It wasn't that it was necessarily real. I believe that, like, for some of the shots, it was a guy in a suit and other stuff. It was stop motion, stuff like that.
Right.
It was that they didn't make it cartoony. It looked like a giant man made of marshmallows.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the fear effect. It was the believability of the situation.
Right. And that's what
I mean. You don't think that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man 50-foot tall could ever exist in your world, but the point was you felt like it existed in theirs.
Exactly.
Same with the dog in that effect. It doesn't really hold up now because it was stop motion capture and shit like that.
Right.
But at the time, you felt the dog was there. They didn't cartoony it.
Right. Now, I would have been perfectly fine if they kept the subtleness. I mean, put women in the role or not.
Yeah.
I would have been perfectly fine if they kept the subtleness of the original Ghostbusters. The cool, like I said, I feel like I'm watching these guys through a window.
Yeah.
Feel. Instead of, we have to be funny all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we have to put these four really funny women in this thing and then have them act over. Now, again, I'm going basically fully off the trailer, which sucked. Now, if it turns out that the movie actually doesn't suck and it was just a really shitty trailer in the movie is like what I'm talking about. Okay. Fine.
They didn't portray it that way.
The reason I'm going with just sucks is there's a few examples from reviewers that open Adam Sandler's mouth and take a dump on it when he does anything, even gets a producer or writer's credit on anything. And they say it was unoriginal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you laugh at some points, but for the most part, it's pretty much just childish humor and silly, and there's no point to it, blah, blah, blah. And they give them just the worst reviews possible. Right. Those same critics are giving nearly identical reviews for this movie. Oh, it's silly. You laugh at times, blah, blah, blah. It was just good fun sometimes, but for originality, they get 7 out of 10.
Right.
What?
What?
Oh, you don't want to be called sexist. You.
All right. This is from Screen Rant.
It's like Bullies.
Yeah.
Days from becoming a tenured professor in the Columbia University Physics Department, Aaron Gilbert, played by Kristen Wiig, visits her childhood friend Abby Yates, played by McCarthy, to request that Abby move the online listing for a 400-page book on paranormal science the pair co-authored years ago, or remove the online listing. In exchange for removing the order page, Abby and her research partner, Jillian Holtzman, played by Kate McKinnon, persuade Aaron to join them for one final investigation during which the three scientists encounter an actual ghost. Dismissing footage of the incident, YouTube commenters, experts, and their now former employers chastise Aaron, Abby, and Holtz, labeling the women attention-seeking fakes.
That's okay. Foreshadowing in the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
Driven to prove they're not con artists and that ghosts are real, the trio rent space above a Chinese food restaurant, hire a hunky receptionist named Kevin, develop experimental energy weapons, and begin studying paranormal events around New York City. See, now, that's the thing that I liked about the original, is that when they showed up to the first thing, you know, with the proton packs,
mm-hmm.
Like Egon gave them zero prep on the proton packs. It was just like, you're wearing a nuclear reactor on your back and don't cross the streams.
Yeah.
Here's what they are. Here's what they do. Don't cross the streams. Shoot them at the ghosts.
Right. Yeah. Why don't we cross the streams? Crossing the streams is bad. Gotcha.
Yes.
Would cause a blah, 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 blah reaction that would blah, blah. In English, please. You blow up.
Yeah. let's see. Development and begin studying paranormal. Okay. The search finds Aaron, Abby, and Holtzman to MTA employee and New York City history buff Patty Tolan, played by Leslie Jones, who leads the team to a malevolent apparition haunting the subway tracks, and a terrifying revelation. Someone is building a device to break the wall between our world and the paranormal to kick off the apocalypse. I want to see the actual review here. The filmmakers and cast define characters through interaction and inter-team dynamics, but aside from how they act and react, audience will learn little substantive information about the Ghostbusters themselves or Feig's rules for paranormal activity. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead, and you had that look on your face.
No, he threw something at me.
Oh, he just threw something? Okay.
There's a coupon in the cigarette pack. I rolled it as a mini joint and threw it at him.
The story attempts to draw lines between Feig's heroes and the film's primary villain, Black Sheep, who are all in some way rejected by society and seeking acceptance, but any chance of Ghostbusters saying something perceptive about their dichotomy or society as a whole gets lost in exposition-heavy monologues, corny feel-good moments, and screwball hijinks. Nevertheless, the majority of those scenes serve their fundamental purpose, comedy. Predictably, the Ghostbusters premise is still rife with potential, and Feig populates his reboot with a large cast of proven comedians who turn small bits into some of the movie's loudest laughs. Eye-rolling jokes from the trailer are typically part of the bigger gag that, thanks to context and build-up, work in the final film. Feig's jokes run the gamut from Apatow brand improv and cheesy one-liners to choreographed action comedy sequences, as well as tongue-in-cheek appearances by the original Ghostbusters cast. That is to say, moviegoers will enjoy Ghostbusters reboot, may not laugh at every gag, but the steady stream of humor should service a wide variety of comic tastes, even if every joke does not hit with every viewer.
So it's funny half the time, 8 out of 10. That's what I'm getting from that. What's his final review? Is there a rating?
Although Feig's choice of an all-female Ghostbusters team was a problem for select fans.
There it is.
There's that narrative. Got to keep that going.
No, that's not the problem. Anyway, the starring actresses have no trouble carrying the movie. With plenty of laughs and badass ghost fighting, the film suffers under some legitimate shortcomings that are worth discussing, leaving room for improvement in Ghostbusters sequels. But Feig makes it clear, Ghostbusters are equally audacious and entertaining, no matter their gender, race, or any other way people choose to...
And we end the review on a propaganda piece.
That's exactly it.
If you don't like it, you hate women.
Frank, did you know that you are a misogynist because you don't like this movie? Did you know that?
Well, having not seen the movie, I don't know yet.
That's not
I can only base my reaction off of the shitty ass trailer they put out.
Right.
Here's how this went. I remember it years ago when they said they're making another Ghostbusters. I said, that's stupid, that's dumb, that's Hollywood greed, and they're probably going to ruin the franchise. Then literally the next line out of that person's mouth was, and apparently it's going to be all women in the cast. And I said, why? What? Why? Like, it wasn't, oh, I hate the movie because it wasn't, they're making an all-female Ghostbusters. Well, now I hate it. It was, I already don't like this idea.
And now you're pushing an agenda.
And now you pushed an agenda into it. And this is before I knew the explosion of feminism and everything has happened. I'm apparently in that category of people that hate this movie automatically because it was an all-female cast. Yep. No, I hated the idea of remaking Ghostbusters. It was They tried remaking Ghostbusters with Ghostbusters 2, and it fucking failed. And
horribly.
How do you follow Ghostbusters? It's nearly a perfect
movie
by itself.
And yet, I can't remake Airplane.
Right.
You want to talk about an over-the-top movie that would play awesome nowadays, would be an airplane-like movie today.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you would have to update some of the jokes and get rid of a lot of them. you can't do the Soul Brothers bits.
Oh, dude, no.
Well, you probably could, but you'd have to have them speaking rap today instead of soul like they were back then, you know.
Then you have other examples, though, where Spaceballs the sequel is coming out, or they're making it.
Right.
They tease that, and people have wanted it because the original was funny, and now the original writer and director is coming back for it. We're going to get something close to what we thought. And he's always done original movies with original plots or parodies and shit like that. Imagine if they announced today Men in Tights 2 with Michael Bay directing.
Exactly.
Like, your first reaction, and then they go, your first reaction is, I don't like that movie. Right. Then they say, it's actually The Merry Women. I don't care. I didn't like the idea of the movie. Well, you're sexist now.
Right.
Ha-ha. Catch 22.
Now, my understanding of Spaceballs 2 is that they're trying to get some of the original. At least, isn't Pullman and what's-her-name coming back?
They're talking about that, and they're also... Rick Moranis said he is open to doing it as long as the script is well-written.
Right.
Which, I'm down for that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can't get John Candy.
Yeah, he's dead.
Back,
but the thing is, we can you can. This is a brilliance of writing because they're doing
Moggs only lived 20 years.
No, way easier, way easier. You actually just explain it off screen, and because Han Solo died in The Force Awakens, it's not Han Solo that died or Lone Star. It was
Barf
that died. Yeah. And then you just, boom, you got it.
They just, Vespa and Lone Star got divorced like a year later.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. There's a lot of opportunities exactly. for material here because the original writer is coming back. And
no, hold on. Yeah, no, they got divorced 20 years later. They have a couple of kids.
Yeah.
No, two. It's 2 years. It's got to be because he married a Jew.
Yeah.
Right.
He's going to do that. You right. know,
yeah. You know what I mean?
They didn't have enough money to keep the Jewish princess exactly. happy, and she left him like right away yeah. after they had two kids.
Yeah, they have a couple of kids, and of course, you know, so now you've got the kids fighting with each other. One's yep. got the light side, one's got the dark side.
One's got the upside, one's got the downside.
Yeah. One of them's worshiping Darth Helmet and shit
yeah.
like that.
No. Right.
See, this is shit he can play around with, and it's the original writer and director, and you trust it just yeah. because of that. And we're just throwing out the ideas among ourselves. We'll yeah. go, yeah, in his hands, that's actually going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you name the kids?
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I'm going to leave that to the master.
Yeah. I'm yeah. curious. You got Lone Star and Princess Vespa. I know she's got a last name, and I know it was mentioned once in the movie. Roland. King Roland. So,
yeah.
So Vespa, Roland, and Lone Star. And does he have a last name that was ever mentioned in the movie? I don't think so.
No.
That's why I'm like, I don't even want to venture guesses. There's too many puns on like Kylo Ren and shit like that you can do.
Yeah.
Because it was, Lone Star was the hybrid character of Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Solo, and, right. Alone.
And Barf was basically C-3PO and R2-D2 combined.
He was a Chewie you could understand.
Yeah.
Well, that too. But he also did do a lot of C-3PO-ish
yeah.
talking to himself and and Greek chorusing the action going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to the Paul Feig and the writers of Ghostbusters, that I think there was like 50 of them, that's how you write creatively. Like, man, that Chewbacca, I wonder what he's saying. How funny would it be if that fucking giant dog could talk?
Yeah. John Candy, what?
Getting out my notepad.
Right.
Hello, John Candy. Yeah.
We got some lines we want you to read.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or, all the people running around in tights in Robin Hood movies. I wonder what it'd be like if guys actually had to wear tights all the time. Would they bitch about it? Like, writing it down.
Yeah.
That's how you write creatively. You think creatively.
See, but then again, I'm the kind of person that looks at History of the World Part 1. When the hell is a Part 2 coming out?
That's the best part about it.
I know.
Mel Brooks created a joke in the title.
Exactly. And that's the only reason people want a Spaceballs sequel is because of one joke.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would instantly watch. I would pay more money to see History of the World Part 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
History of the World Part 1 was nonstop laughs all the way through.
But
humor. Did you bullshit today? No. Did you bullshit yesterday? No.
Did you try to bullshit?
Did you at least try to bullshit? I'm a stand-up philosopher.
Right.
A what? You know, I give up. Oh. I give thoughts and funny insights. And
bullshit artist.
Like every scene in History of the World Part 1 plays as a joke.
Or Madeline Kahn. No, 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 no. Yes. Yeah. No, 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 no,
no,
yes.
No, 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 yes. No, no, yes. No, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, yes. No, no.
Or the scene where What's-His-Face is trying to be a eunuch.
Oh, yeah.
Pretend he's a eunuch, and they bring the dancing girl out that's
and
fucking...
And the tongue's hanging 3 feet down.
Yeah. And the pants sticking up and goes...
Gregor Hines, wasn't it?
Yeah. They go through the three dudes that are actually eunuchs and like, he's a eunuch.
He's a eunuch. He is dead.
then him.
Get him! You
know? Have you seen that movie?
That is the one
Mel. Just say no.
That is the one Mel Brooks movie I have not seen.
Oh, you need to, you know,
that's.
I don't want to say it's a masterpiece,
but in the middle of all of them, History of the World Part 1, Harvey Korman in that movie.
Yes,
it's good to be the king. Fuck, there's. I think that's the most quotable one, other than Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's good to be the king.
Good to be the king.
Dom DeLuise as Julius Caesar.
Yes.
That movie would be fucking, every scene in that movie,
how do you make a Venetian blind? You don't know? Hapuk. Like, every scene in that movie fucking plays. And actually, you get that actually was like basically what it would be like if Mel Brooks was doing stand up.
Yeah.
When he was playing the stand up philosopher.
All right. Now think you've seen
Life of Brian.
Life of Brian.
Yes. Absolutely.
Exactly where you're going with that.
Yes.
Think that.
Only they stretch it over four different empires. And
yes.
Shit.
Oh, my God.
They
Wonder Joint.
The French Revolution. It's Sid Caesar's in that, too. He plays the caveman in the beginning.
Does he?
Yeah. He plays the lead caveman in the beginning. Even the caveman scene, the opening 3 minutes of the movie, get you chuckling. And it's not like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
See? It's not belly laughs and you're rolling on the floor, but you're chuckling and shit.
Matter of fact,
you can tell this is a warm-up act for what's to come.
Matter of fact, I think it starts out with a theme to 2001, doesn't it? And they just kind of roll over and you just see all the cavemen.
Because that came out at a similar time and they had you teased for the 2001 parody and they didn't do the 2001 parody per se.
Right. And all you see is, you know, there's a monologue going on and stuff. And then you see like the cavemen raising out of the dirt.
Yeah.
And then just start jerking off.
That's great. That's fucking amazing.
But it lines up with the monologue, and I forget what the monologue is.
No, it was basically narrating the caveman and shit.
As I said, that is the one Mel Brooks movie I have not seen.
He has so many good ones, and it's hard to like pick a masterpiece that he's done. In my personal opinion, that's his crowning comedy masterpiece.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein, I can watch it anytime and I can laugh through it, but History of the World Part 1, hard to not find at least one scene in that movie that you're not going to be quoting for 3 weeks after watching it. After rewatching it, you're going to be quoting that line for 3 weeks.
Which one?
History of the World Part 1.
You guys have shown me the stand-up philosopher bit.
Like, 20 million years ago, an ape-like creature inhabited the...
It's hard to see Sid Caesar in there because he's so skinny and he's a lot older now. It is Sid Caesar, though.
Timpani.
And the ape stood and became man.
First thing they do is learn how to masturbate.
Yeah. Our forefathers.
Yeah, and they all fall asleep again. That's the first 30 seconds of that movie.
Yes, that's how they open it.
That is fucking priceless.
High Anxiety is a sleeper one for like black comedy and shit.
I like Silent Movie.
Never seen it. That's the one I haven't seen.
Oh, okay. Imagine it's these two dudes running. They're trying to bring back a silent movie in like the 60s.
Yeah.
I think he made this one either right before or right after High Anxiety. You know that area right there. But it's these two. They're trying to bring back a silent movie. So he films the entire movie as a silent movie about these two producers trying to make a silent movie.
It's like the first real meta comedy. You're watching a silent movie about making a silent movie. Fuck me.
That's gonna be a sad day when Mel Brooks finally passes, man.
He's gotta finish.
He's gotta finish.
Yeah, he's got too much work to do.
And I know he hates sequels and shit. That's why he always declined to do it. He always teased it. He was making fun of other people that did sequels and shit.
Yeah.
But like, and even comparing History of the World Part 1, Life of Brian is something completely different. That's a critique of the Judeo-Christian religions and shit like that. He doesn't really go after religion in History of the World Part 1. That's why, similar theme, different comedy.
Yeah.
Well, the People's Front of Judea. Damn People's Front, the tossers.
Right.
But yeah, even shit like that, you can quote over and over again. Yes! The Spanish Inquisition musical. I think we've shown this.
Yeah, you've shown me this.
Yeah, but have you seen...
Yes, you've shown me this.
Actually seen
the Inquisition.
It?
Okay. What a thrill. I just like... He always puts a song and dance number in his movies, except for Blazing Saddles. Oh, no, wait.
No, there's one in...
Oh, they did, because you had Duke Ellington come down when he was riding through. They didn't dance, but they had the song. Remember, he was riding through the desert right at the beginning, and he comes up on Duke Ellington and his orchestra?
Well, I meant song and dance number like this is going to be, like that caliber.
Well, you had Madeline Kahn on stage.
He teased it in Blazing Saddles with Dom DeLuise's character, and then they cut out before
the year. Right, well, you had Madeline Kahn on stage
with the French
them.
Mistake. Olé!
Right. Ravage the... Oh, like I said, you had Madeline
the hour of the yeah, you're
on
right.
stage with the Nazis. Thing.
That qualifies, actually.
Public amusement.
I'll take it.
Heretics and non-believers.
Men in tights. When they actually do the song and dumb sing.
Yeah, we're men. Manly men. We're men in tights. Tights.
That's so funny. That's so fucking funny.
Is there one? No, there's not one in Young Frankenstein.
No.
Tokimata.
Oh, the.
Yeah, there is the tap dance.
Yeah, the tap
with
dance at the end.
Yes!
Never mind.
There's always a good song and dance number somewhere in there. How funny would it be if this guy talked like a mongoloid?
Do not
like,
employ him.
Writing it down.
And then they get fucking Peter Boyle.
He almost didn't get that casting.
Do not ask him for mercy. Let's face it, you can't talk him out of anything.
All those who wish to confess
a Jew covering the Spanish Inquisition.
And to accept and embrace the true church, convert now. Or forever burn in hell. For now begins the Inquisition.
The Inquisition.
Let's begin.
The Inquisition.
Look out, sin.
We have a mission.
Look out, sin.
The Jews. We're going to teach them.
Wrong from right.
We're going to help them.
And this is the only part that they cover in the Spanish Inquisition. This song and dance number.
They should just show this in history class.
Yeah.
Say yes.
Say yes. Say yes.
Don't be dull.
A fact you're ignoring.
It
It's better to lose your skull cap than your skull.
Oh, you're the vault.
The Inquisition.
The Inquisition.
And hell, the producers.
Here we go. We know you wish.
Oh, yeah. Song and dance number, of course.
Well, springtime for Hitler. Yeah.
But the Inquisition's here.
Don't
it's
be
here
stupid.
To
be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi pod.
The Inquisition. What joy. The Inquisition. Oi, oi.
I was sitting in a temple. I was minding my own business. I was listening to a lovely Hebrew mass. Then these papers persons plunge in and they throw me in a dungeon and they shove a red hot poker up my ass. Is that considerate? Is that polite? And not a tube of preparation H in sight.
I'm sitting flicking chickens and I'm looking through the pickings and suddenly these guys break down my balls. I didn't even know them and they grabbed me by the scrotum and they started playing ping pong with my balls. Oi, the agony! Ooh, the shame! To make my privates public for a game?
The Inquisition.
What a show.
The Inquisition.
Here we go.
We know you're wishing
that we go away.
But the Inquisition's here and it's here to
pay. Talk about it. What do you say?
I just got back from the auto de fe.
Auto de fe? What's an auto de fe?
It's what you oughtn't to do, but you do anyway. Skit, scat, voodly, vat, and toodly, day. When you convert.
No, 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 no.
When you confess.
No, 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 no.
When you refight.
No, 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 no.
When you say yes.
No, 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 no.
Now I ask in a nice way, I said pretty please. I bent their ears, now I'll work on their knees.
And, of course, the nuns, the striptease nuns. This is rather prophetic, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Torquemada, walk this way. We got a little game that you might want to play.
The Jew slots.
Try your luck. Who knows, Torque, you might win a buck.
All right. Put it in the car. In the car. In the car. How we doing any converts today?
Not a one. Nay, nay, nay.
We have flattened their fingers. We branded their buns. Nothing is working. Send in the nuns.
How's that Catholic school going for you, Matt?
Right, and then this is pretty much just 4 minutes of synchronized swimming. But yeah, I mean, I was trying to find, let's see.
Let's not ruin the whole thing for him.
Why not?
Because I want him to watch it. It's one of the best.
Oh.
Like, if I see Silent Movie, it's just way fucking better. Then I'll recant, but
the greatest calamity that could befall early man,
Sid Caesar,
was the loss of fire. Fire, yeah. A mysterious phenomenon that cooked his food, heated his cave.
Well, this I knew. I thought you were talking about the actual cavemen at the very.
If he could not start a fire,
not the monkeys.
He and his would surely die.
I gotta heat up the rock to make the fire. It didn't work.
What the fuck?
Moses went to the mountain, and God spoke unto him.
Yes.
Moses, this is the Lord the thy joke. God, commanding you to obey my law. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, I hear you. A deaf man could hear you.
What?
Nothing, Gornish, forget it. Oh, Lord, why have you chosen me? What would you have me do for you?
I shall give you my laws, and you shall take them unto the people.
Yes, Lord!
A deaf man could hear you. What did you say?
Lord,
nothing, nothing.
I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me! Oh, hear me! All pay heed! The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15... Ten commandments for all to obey.
That makes you start to think, though.
That's a Jew that just locked the Torah.
Yeah.
Now, tonight, we have a private party.
A private party.
Take their orders.
Take their orders.
Oh, I don't know if he's seen this
correct.
Part.
Be polite.
Be polite.
And push the mulled wine. We're stuck with it.
Push the mulled wine. We're stuck.
Don't write it now. Now go.
Yes, sir.
Can't get any good help today.
Oh, yeah.
Before this night is over, one of you shall betray me 3 times.
No. Master, how can you feel that anyone here would betray you? You who we would follow even unto our death.
Yes. Does everybody want soup?
Please, we must talk. This may be our last supper.
Hey, it's my first order. Oh, look, one little question, I'll let you all go. Are you all together, or is it separate checks?
Please, go away. Go away.
All right, okay.
Yay, so you say. But one who sits amongst us has already betrayed me this night.
Who?
Who can it be? Judas! Do you want a beverage? Try the mulled wine. It's terrific.
No! Leave us alone!
Go!
My Jesus.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Jesus!
What?
Yes.
What?
You said what?
What?
Who's on first gag?
Ah, Leonardo.
Buongiorno.
Just a sec.
It's all right. We ordered a group portrait.
Wait for it.
Fernabla, this is no good. All I got is a box. Okay. Everybody want to be in the picture? Get up and go to the other side of the table. Come on.
Look at their faces.
That answers that question, doesn't it?
Hold it.
What are we gonna do? We're trapped!
Hey, who's that?
Look what he's done! Oh my God!
For those listening, this is just parting the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful man!
Wow.
Let's go, America!
Keep him up.
Son of a bitch, you bastard! An old man, they don't let you live, they don't let you breathe! Son of a bitch!
Your Majesty.
How's it going, Marie?
It's good to be the king.
Every time you've ever heard that now,
that's where we got it from.
Okay.
It's good to be the king.
Lucky.
Your Majesty.
It's good to be the king.
Despoil me! Humiliate me! Only do it! Do it!
pump.
This is seen as only funny.
It's good to be the king.
Context.
In context. Yes,
the guillotine. Holy shit! Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Last request. Last request.
What is your last request?
Yes. Novocaine.
Wait a minute.
There is no such thing known to medical science. I'll wait.
The only thing about that is that, like, the Roman, oh, they're gonna play Caesar's Palace.
Uh-huh.
The only thing about that is these scenes that are like 2-3 minutes. Each segment of history is usually about 15 to 20 in the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you see a 2-minute clip of it, there's still more to see.
He got hired as a stand-up philosopher in Caesar's Palace here.
Caesar, nice. Emperor of Rome, monarch of the Roman Empire, ruler of the world.
He did get a lot of shit for the Roman sequences because people thought he stole from Monty Python. And even they came out and said, no, he did something different. It was done really close to what we did, but the jokes were definitely different. Biggest dickest and shit like that. He didn't go the same way.
I always thought Manuel Lacan was hot.
All hail the commander of his majesty's Roman legions, the brave and noble Marcus Vindictus. Who returns to Rome after winning a great victory over the Cretans at Sparta.
The Spartans.
Make that the Spartans at Crete.
I knew that joke was coming and it was still fucking funny.
Mortal. Remember, thou art mortal.
That's
remember,
supposed to be a slave doing that, mortal. Not...
Oh, blow it out your ass.
Oh, Caesar.
They actually did do that.
I have brought your illustrious name before the four corners of the earth. I have subdued and conquered the barbaric hordes in the name of Rome. I penetrated into the farthest...
What's under the sheet?
Sheet?
Sheet!
Sheet! Oh, the sheet. Yes. To begin with, number one, a beautiful hand-carved alabaster bathing vessel.
Nice. Nice. Not thrilling, but nice.
Aha! But to fill the tub, behind curtain number two, treasure from the Orient!
Bathtub! Treasure bath! I'm going to have a treasure bath! Treasure bath! Treasure bath!
Oh, Nympho, I would do anything.
Nympho, that's what her name was.
If you would only grant me your favors, how can I entice you? How can I ensnare you? What bait must I use to catch your love? I am your servant.
Ah, but the servant waits while the master baits.
Yeah.
Oh, here, wash this.
Yes, sire.
Huh? The muse is upon me.
Thank you, Caesar.
All be quiet. His divine immortality has consented to favor us with a new poem. Speak, O glorious Caesar. Speak, you faggot.
Small liar.
I didn't do it. I wasn't even there. I was at a friend's house. The check is in the mail.
Not that kind of liar. Dig him out. Dig him out of here.
Oh, get him out. Take him out.
Miriam, wine.
Josephus, wine.
Say when.
8:30.
All right. No, that double take out.
What? The top of Olympus. More women. More wine. More. Okay, faggot. What's next?
The new stand-up.
We need that clip.
The new stand-up.
Okay, faggot.
I like
faggot.
A mountain comic.
That's the stand-up. That's the soundboard.
Okay, faggot. What's next?
I just got back from Venice, and boy, are my arms tired. Let me tell you about Venice. Venice is a very old city, very old, very wonderful city, ancient city. You're going to learn a lot in Venice. You want to know how to make a Venetian blind? Like this? Fuck! Have you all heard about this new sect, the Christians? They are a laugh riot. First of all, they are so poor...
How poor are they?
Thank you. They are so poor that they have only one God. We Romans are rich. We got a lot of gods. We got a God for everything. The only thing we don't have a God for is premature ejaculation. But I hear that that's coming quickly. The little fag gets it.
Always edited out on TV.
What's the rage today? Losing weight is all the rage. Everybody in Rome is either in a steam room or a vomitarium. I mean, half of Rome is either cooking or puking. But you can't blame these people. You can't blame these people for wanting to be thin. Who wants to look like a big fat pig?
Did he say big fat pig?
Yes, he did, sire.
Do you think he meant me?
I believe he did, sire.
Oh.
Get off the fat jokes! Oh. Get off fat! Get off fat! Fat. Oh, no, no. The two Jews got off. No. Syrian. Politics! 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 Yes, the Roman Senate. The Roman Senate is the best legislature that money can buy. Corruption starts in the streets with the little peddlers. They bribe an assemblyman. The assemblyman bribes a councilman. The councilman bribes a senator. And the senator, it goes all the way up to the emperor. Oh, shit.
Kill him!
Taxi! Wait, no autographs, no autographs.
Seize him!
Seize him!
More wine!
More wine, more wine.
Did you see the sword gag?
Mm-mm. Boy, when you die give at the palace, 15 you really
seconds
die
back.
At the palace.
It's this again. Mel Brooks and simple sight gags.
With the little peddlers. They
watch the general when he draws his sword. It's there for a second.
It goes all the way up to the emperor. Oh, shit.
Kill him!
Taxi! Wait, no autographs, no autographs.
Seize him!
Seize him!
More wine!
That's
more
how
wine.
You do a, it's there for 4 seconds, maybe at the most, and you're done.
When you die at the palace, you really die at the palace. Oops. Kill him too!
He's in prison. Save them.
Wait! I just had a wonderful idea. What was my idea? So yes, let these two fools fight each other to the death during dessert.
Yeah, just there you missed too.
We
you
know? Who are about to die, salute you. Salute. Hey, all right. I'm sorry. Thank you. I never killed another human being in my life.
But you gotta start sometime! Oh!
Maniac!
Look, wait! Watch your head! Wait!
What?
Isn't that Lena Horne over there?
Lena!
Oh, Emperor! Spare this poor man. He has fought so bravely for your amusement.
Let him... die.
Best Dom DeLuise line.
Top shit.
Top shit.
Oh, I can't do it. Here, take the shield. Take the sword. Come on, we find our way out. Oh.
John, destroy them.
You're the first white person I even considered like.
Get out of here.
Kill them! Wash this!
Oh, man.
And that's the reason why you need to see.
See, that's... That's 10 minutes of the Rome scene, but there's actually 10 more minutes where they do, like, the bullshit artist bit and shit like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Walking around Rome and oh, shit. I forgot about the bullshit
artist. No, I've seen that. You showed me that.
Did I show you the bullshit artist?
Yeah, you showed me that, yeah.
Okay. And that's, what's your name? B. Arthur.
Nice.
And she deadpanned it, too.
It's probably the...
Next. Occupation.
Stand-up philosopher.
What?
Stand-up philosopher. I coalesce the vapor of human experience into a viable and logical comprehension.
Oh, you're a bullshit artist. Did you bullshit last week?
No.
Did you try to bullshit last week?
Yes.
I got you a job. Well, you won't be needing this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, no, that's... We need to see if that's on Netflix. I'm sure we can find it online somewhere, but...
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Must... See that
they've seen about 30 minutes of the hour and a half of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and some of the missing bits, like the Harvey Korman scenes, you're watching the movie and you're laughing the entire time, and then fucking Harvey Korman comes in and steals the fucking show again every time. Headley.
Yeah.
But man, think of, has he made a bad movie?
No.
Out of the one
and
that
you don't just accept them based on the premise, it's because he doesn't do the same shit twice.
Yeah. I mean, I think the weakest one of the group, according to everybody, is the producers.
And the producers was funny.
And the producers is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Some others would say, me, I'm not a big fan of
high anxiety.
Yes.
But it's still funny.
Yeah. See, I've always considered that to be his weakest one.
Yeah.
Because it was just a little too dry. That's actually the one that was the lowest on slapstick.
Yeah.
And I think that's what did it in. You always get a nice mix with Mel Brooks, a slapstick, verbal, sight gags and shit like that. And that right. one really suffered from no slapstick.
Right. But it is still funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's got a little bit of slapstick in it. The roof scene.
Well, I'm saying there's a little bit in it, but the constant slap, like right. the little things in that last scene where Dom DeLuise is getting the wine poured while he's calling for them to be hanged, and he shakes the cup and gets himself covered in wine.
Uh-huh.
But then when he gets covered in wine 3 seconds later, it's that little bit of slapstick or the fucking heating up the rock and shit.
Right.
That pure slapstick involved in the scene that keeps you laughing.
Right. As opposed to Monty Python, well, they might do a little bit of slapstick, but a lot of their humor is actually, believe it or not, intellectual.
Yeah. No. It's
dry.
It's British humor.
It's meant to be dry.
Yeah.
No.
It's conversational.
Yeah.
Humor. Like I said, one of my favorite scenes is, well, I know I've played this for not you many times.
People's front of Judea?
No.
it's that shit.
It's actually from the Flying Circus, the Sergeant Major.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have no idea?
Nope.
Uh-oh.
I thought that was Meaning of Life, sir.
I don't think so.
The Sergeant Major that's like, if you have something else you'd like to be doing.
Is that from Meaning of Life?
That's Meaning
of Life. I thought that was from Flying Circus. I'm sorry. But yeah.
I'd very much so like to go see a movie.
Right. Yeah.
Right then, Jenkins, go see a movie now, if anyone else. I'd quite like to read a book. Right, well, go read your book then.
Yeah.
I think you've played that before.
Oh, yeah, I've played that before. No, I thought that was from Flying Circus. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I always thought that was the best scene.
I'm sorry.
From Flying Circus, there's so many great ones.
The parrot.
Oh, dude, the parrot is... You sold me a dead parrot.
No, remember the one though? I know I've played this for you before, Matt. I don't know, Pete, if you've heard it, at least here, is the Bruces.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the one right after that, I think this is actually from Carol Burnett, actually. Remember they had Harvey Korman and what's his name? Tim Conway?
Tim Conway, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one where they're playing officers.
Yeah, I think you showed me that, too.
In the jungle or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean...
No. Officers in the jungle, and the guy gets mauled by a tiger or some shit?
Something like that, yeah.
That's also Meaning of Life.
No. There's one with... There's one with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. But yeah, I mean...
Were they going to the British officers? Yeah, that... Oh, right.
Yeah, no, that's I know what you're talking about there. Yeah, that's Monty Python. No, there's another one where
my favorite one from Monty Python, I know I've said it before, it's just because it's the perfect example of what a payoff joke is. Also no, they say, well, it's a punchline. No, it's a payoff joke. There's a joke that's running and you don't quite understand it, and then at the end you go, son of a bitch, is The Interview from Monty Python. Where the guy goes in for the interview and John Cleese is having him do all this absurd shit. Like he's ringing a bell going, goodbye. Ding, 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 ding. How did that make you feel? And shit like that. And you're sitting there. Watch it. Watch the clip. Type in Monty Python.
Wow.
Any sign of the enemy, Captain?
No.
This isn't
but I know they're out there. They're dug in right in that valley. Now, let's see. Now, let's see. They know that we're here. And they know that we know that they're there. Now, they know how many soldiers we have. And they know that we know how many soldiers they have. Now, they know what we have to do. And they know that we know what they're going to have to do. But one thing
Tim
we
Conway
know
schmuck is the
that
best.
They don't know.
Well, I don't know that one, sir, but you know the one about the farmer? He's got a box of...
I mean, they don't know that we have old Bessie here.
Aha.
Aha. Aha. Now, let's... Now, we've got to find some way of getting them out into the open.
Right, sir.
I've got it. Uh-huh. I'll take my men around to their right flank. Then I'll fire two shots in the air. That'll bring them out into the open. Uh-huh. When they get into the middle of the clearing, I'll yell, fire!
Aha! Uh-huh.
And you let go with old Bessie there.
Right. Right.
You got that?
I got that, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good luck, sir.
Company! Hiya!
Harvey's...
Fire!
Archer! Fire!
Archer!
Fire!
I'm not gonna play the whole thing.
No, play the Monty Python interview one, though.
Let's see if I can find it here.
I doubt you'll find it as funny as me and Matt will. But we've been abused more by corporate offices than anybody else.
Yeah, but I was in the military.
Interview skit. There it is. Well, then you fucked with people. I forget that you're in charge of people. Uh-huh. You'll understand this really well from John Cleese's point of view.
Which one?
That's the one.
This one?
The top one was right.
You know, I really enjoy interviewing applicants for this management training course. Go in. Ah, come and sit down.
Thank you.
Would you mind just standing up again for one moment? Take a seat.
Sorry?
Take a seat. Ah. Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I've been here.
Morning.
I've been on the behind the desk scene.
Tell me, why do you say good morning when you know perfectly well that it's afternoon?
Well, you said good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah.
Good evening.
Goodbye?
Yep. Not far off.
No.
No.
Aren't you going to ask me why I rang the bell?
Why did you ring the bell?
Why do you think I rang the bell? Five, four, three, two, 1, 0.
Well, I'm too late.
Good night. Ding, 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 ding.
All right, if you're listening live, sorry, we got to disconnect. Bye.
This is the interview for the management training course, is it?
Yes, yes, it is.
Oh.
Good
night. Yes, it is.
Oh, dear, I don't think I'm doing very well.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know.
Do you say it because you didn't know?
Well, I don't know.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Right.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Well, why do you think I did that then?
Well, I don't know.
Aren't you curious?
Well, yes.
Well, why didn't you ask me?
Well,
name?
What?
Your name, please, your name.
David.
David. Hmm. Shaw?
Oh, yes.
David Shaw.
No, no, Thomas.
Thomas Shaw.
No, no, David Thomas.
Good night.
Oh dear, we're back to that again.
Again, this is the example of a payoff joke.
I don't know what to do when you do that.
Well, do something. Good. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good.
Very good. Do it again. Very good indeed. Quite outstanding. Right, ready now. Right, once more.
Good night. Ding, 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 ding.
You got very good marks.
Well, I don't care. I want to know what's going on. I think you're deliberately trying to humiliate people. I'm going straight out of here, and I'm going to tell the police exactly what you do to people, and I'm going to make bloody sure that you never do this again. There! What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Very good marks.
Well, do I get the job?
Well, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid all the vacancies were filled several weeks ago.
You invested along the way, you chuckled, it was getting you, but what the fuck's going on? Payoff.
Well, Monty Python was good at that. Let's set this joke up for 5 minutes.
In almost any circumstances. For example, have you ever heard the story about the two beautiful blondes who were on their first visit to a nudist camp when one of them suddenly noticed that... Well, I didn't know that he played the violin. And this story also illustrates how irritating mechanical failures are. I spy with my little eye something beginning with S.
Sky. I spy with my little eye something beginning with C.
Cloud.
Yep. Oh, God, I'm bored.
I'm fed up with that game. Let's play another game. Oh. I know what.
What?
Hello? This is your captain speaking. There is absolutely no cause for alarm.
That'll get them thinking. No, not yet. Let it sink in. They're thinking, what is there absolutely no cause for alarm about? Are the wings on fire? The wings are not on fire. Now they're thinking, why should he say that? So we say...
Oh, how are we doing?
They've stopped eating, looking a bit worried.
Good.
One of them's going to the washroom.
Is he there yet?
He's just closing the door now.
Right. One, two, three. Please return to your seats and fasten your safety belts immediately.
Here he comes, going up the aisle like the clappers. I'll do the worried walk now.
Right.
Worried walk.
Right. What safety regulations?
Safety regulations.
Please listen carefully. I want to remind you of some of the safety regulations. In the case of emergency, it is vitally important to... as the warning buzzer sounds.
Oh, that's got them rattled.
Great.
Good.
Hey,
don't need to worry. I've got an idea.
Hello? You will find your life jackets under your seat.
No, they're on the left.
Shh. Let them scrabble a bit.
I'm sorry, you will find them on the racks above your head. But do not unfasten your safety belt.
Great, that was marvellous.
Right, gobbledygook.
Oh. Yeah.
The scransoms above your head are now ready to flange. Please unfasten your safety belts and press the emergency photo scamps on the back of the seats behind you.
Marvellous, milling about, climbing over the seat.
Please find the emergency sprill in the washroom at the back and release it.
But do not unfasten your safety belt.
The emergency sprill must be released.
But do not leave your seats.
Do not panic.
Tea will now be served.
Inflate your life jackets.
And extinguish all cigarettes.
Please remove the luggage from the racks above your heads and place it on the racks on the other side of the aircraft.
Except hand luggage.
Which you should sit on.
Now the look. Hang on.
What?
Hang on.
What?
They've all jumped out!
Oh shit, we're in trouble.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't some trouble about this.
Fucking brilliant.
Do not unfasten your safety belt.
Yes, sir. A politician saying, my friends. The Inland Revenue saying, we remain, sir, your obedient servants. The telephone service saying, sorry you've been troubled. A policeman saying, Merry Christmas. Yes, insincerity is a powerful irritant and a major weapon in the armory of nature's liars, salesmen.
Actually, I hadn't seen that other one before.
No.
Hello, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Mrs. Harris keeping well, is she?
Yes, she's very well.
Lovely weather, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, if you don't mind, I've got to nip off down there.
Well, I brought the car in.
Oh, the car. Lovely model, lovely model. Never any trouble with those. I don't know why they stopped making them.
Well, I have had some trouble with it.
No, never. Never any trouble. If you have any trouble, I'll bring it in.
Look, I have had some trouble and I have brought it in. Will you have a look at it?
Well, it's a bit difficult at the moment. You see, everyone's up at lunch. Would you like to call, make an appointment?
Well, I have called several times. From the moment I give my name, they hang up.
Yes, well, we've been having a lot of trouble with the phones, you see. I've been trying to call you myself.
Look, just come and have a look at it.
Well, the mechanic's off at lunch. That's the real trouble.
Look, I just want you to come and take a quick look at it now.
Righto, Squire. You say the word. Lead the way.
Right. Mr. Gibson.
There you are. Right, let's have a look at the lovely...
After you.
Lovely model, this. Never any trouble with these. Not one single complaint about these have I had. Mrs. Addis keeping well, is she?
The gear lever is loose.
No.
The gear lever is loose. Look at it.
Oh, well, you're waggling it, aren't you?
All right, you do it. It is loose.
Oh, well, your gear lever's loose, isn't it? That's where your trouble is.
I can't get into third half of the time.
Well, you must expect teething troubles in these new models. Best gearbox made.
Well, why can't I get into third, then?
Well, give it time, give it time. Precision gearbox. Bound to stick a little in third. Sign of top quality.
Never had a complaint about these.
Bring it in.
Look, I have had trouble and I have brought it in.
Top class gearbox, this. The best. Anyway, I'll bet the mechanic to screw this back on. Lovely seeing you, though, Mr. Harris. Lovely seeing you.
And the back door falls off.
No.
The back door falls off.
No. Oh, it's a grip-safe door, isn't it? You're not using it right. Give me the copy of the manual. Shouldn't have any more trouble. Nice to see you, Mr. Harris.
And the brakes slip badly.
Don't tell me that. I'm a brake man.
They are dangerous. They slip.
Well, they are new.
They do not stop the car.
It's stopped, innit?
Look, I'll get in. You push.
Right.
All right.
Oh! There I was, pushing for all I was worth. Brakes on.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't have the brakes on.
Well, the wheels are stiff, aren't they?
Look, you get in. I'll push. Right. Handbrake off.
How are you doing all this without a gear shifter, I'm wondering.
Right?
British cars, man.
Tell you what, bring it in, we'll have a look at it.
That was kind of funny.
All right. Let's go ahead and end this before we get into a 3-hour block of those.
Yeah.
So we're going to end it. Did we even do anything today? Other than watch movies?
No.
Sorry, everybody, but I guess we just needed a laugh today.
I did.
We're out. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.